You have your Bibles, would you please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If you're visiting with us, we'd like to use the Pew Bible in front of you. It's on page 886. Let's begin in verse 1 together, looking at this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together as we begin our time. Father, we're grateful to gather this morning and to hear these songs of praise sung to you that remind us of your coming and the purpose of your coming. To deliver us out of the bondage and domain of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. And so it's our privilege, Lord, now to, in the moments we have left, to consider truths from your word that indeed are life-changing. And so we ask your blessing on what is said this morning, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, in the time we have remaining this morning, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the meaning of Christmas and the Christmas season. You're likely familiar with the Stevie Wonder song, "That's What Christmas Means to Me." I feel like running wild, as anxious as a little child, to greet you neath the mistletoe, kiss you once, and then some mo. I'm all for mistletoe, and I hope to experience a lot of it this Christmas season. But our concern this morning is not so much with what Stevie thinks about Christmas, or really even what you think about Christmas, or what I think about what Christmas means to me. But what we want to do back this morning is come back to the true meaning of the Christmas season as it was originally intended. The true meaning of Christmas is wrapped up in a person. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born as a baby, who lived, who died, who was raised from the dead, and who will one day return again to this earth to establish his kingdom. And the true meaning of Christmas being wrapped up in Jesus, as we consider it this morning, I want to focus on one word that sort of sums up the meaning of the Christmas season, and that word is the word light. One of the things you'll notice in traditional Christmas hymns is the frequent reference to light and its association with the Christmas season. So let me just give you four examples of songs, traditional Christmas hymns, that reference Jesus coming in terms of light coming to the world. So you may be familiar with the song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." How still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. But then the next phrase says this: yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Well, he goes on to explain what that light was, for Christ is born of Mary. Another song that's familiar at Christmas time that references the light of Christ coming into the world is the hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. You're no doubt familiar as well with "Silent Night." "Holy Night, Son of God, loves pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace." And lastly, you're probably familiar with portions of Handel's Messiah. If you're like me and you don't know that much about it, then you would assume it's just like two songs finishing off with the Hallelujah chorus, of course. But Handel's Messiah is like almost a three-hour production that is made up of song after song after song. The one we're familiar with is the quote of Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us the child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." But the song in the Messiah that immediately precedes the quote of Isaiah 9:6 is a song that's quoted from Isaiah 9:2 that goes like this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." And so it's frequent then in Christmas hymns for authors to reference the light of Christ coming into the world. It's not just a coincidence that they use this metaphor, but it's actually deeply scriptural to think of Christ coming in terms of light coming into darkness. In fact, in one of the birth narratives in Luke chapter 1, as Zechariah receives the announcement that he and Elizabeth are going to have a son that's going to prepare the way for the coming of Christ, Zechariah sits down and he pens this song. And at the end of the song, here's how he describes Christ's coming into the world. He says this: "It's the sunrise," or he says, "the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness." And so as we think about the Christmas season and the meaning of Christmas, what I want us to think about is light into darkness as the meaning of why Christ has come. As we consider the relationship here between light and Christmas, we're looking at the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is different than Matthew and Mark, as Matthew and Mark record the details of Jesus' birth and the shepherds and the wise men coming. But John's record of Jesus coming into the world is different. He doesn't record the events of Jesus' birth. Rather, John's focus is to show us that Jesus had already existed in eternity past, right? The Word became flesh. And his purpose is to show us why Jesus came into this earth, to bring light into the dark world. And so that is John's focus. In fact, you notice this as we read in verses 4 to 9. "In him was life, and this life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness," John tells us, "and darkness has not overcome it." In verse 9 of John 1, he says this: "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Now, as we consider this connection between Christmas and light, let's just consider this in an organized fashion this morning, really in two points. Okay? Number one, the problem of darkness. And number two, the solution of light. Okay, let's begin first of all with the problem of darkness. The reason Jesus needed to come to this world and come to this earth as a light is because this world was lost in darkness. And we should be clear that the reference to darkness here is not a literal darkness. Rather, we're talking, it's not that Jesus came while it was nighttime or dark out and he needed to come as the light. That's not the reference here. Rather, it's a metaphor referring to spiritual darkness or moral darkness or darkness in relationship to God, darkness synonymous with evil. It describes the condition of the world apart from a relationship with God. We are lost in darkness. Now, this really is a powerful metaphor to describe your condition and my condition apart from a relationship with the Lord. Several years ago, our family was traveling on vacation, and we visited a cave in western Pennsylvania known as Laurel Cavern. It was one of those caves where you go into it and you see the stalagmites and the stalactites. And don't ask me which one points in which direction, because I don't think I ever mastered that at any point in my schooling. But it was an interesting experience, because we would enter into this, you know, kind of this building, And then you would take an elevator ride down a few stories in order to get into the cave and begin your 45-minute tour. And we walked through on various paths and stairs, and it was quite an amazing sight. But near the end of the tour, they gathered us in this one area where we all stood together, and then they turned out the lights so we could experience the darkness of this cave. Do you know how dark it is to be down several stories and to have the lights turned out? It is quite the experience. I mean, you think your eyes are closed, but they're open. And you're waiting for your eyes to adjust to the darkness like they often do in the course of our own homes. But your eyes never adjust. It is utter darkness. As I was recalling this adventure this past week, I began to think about what it would have been like if the lights never came back on, and how we would have navigated our way out of this cave to safety. And the reality is, we wouldn't have. We would have been dependent on someone to rescue us with light in order to see our way out of the darkness. And this is the Bible. This is how the Bible describes you and me apart from a relationship with God. We are trapped in the darkness of sin with no means of working our way out or feeling our way out of the darkness. We are entirely enslaved. And what's worse is mankind enjoys the darkness and cherishes the darkness. Right? So if you were to turn over just a couple of pages to John chapter 3, you would see in John chapter 3 verse 19 this phrase, that the light has come into the world, but people have loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Because we enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, we feel no need to devise a plan to get ourselves out of the darkness. We're content in the darkness. And most people don't and won't recognize their lost condition. And everyone else is there with them. So what's the need to get out of this lost condition? Instead, they happily continue in the state of darkness. This is the condition in which we enter the world, and it's the condition we leave the world if we are not exposed to the light of Jesus Christ. So this darkness is a big, big problem. This past week I was driving home from taking my daughter to school, and the battery light came on in my car. I appreciated the warning, and I drove straight down to the parts store so that they could do a quick test on my battery. The man said to me, "The battery appears to be low, but I can't tell because I'm not getting a good connection because there's some corrosion on the battery." So I went home and I cleaned it off, and things seemed to be working well. Until the next morning, we're driving to school. On my way to school, not my school, okay, but I'm sure I could use it. And I am going through seventh grade again here, learning life science and things like that. But that's not the point. So the battery light comes on again, and then just like a minute later, my dashboard lights up like a Christmas tree. Every light is on. The ABS light, the battery light, the engine light, everything. And then the power steering goes. And I'm like, well, this isn't good. So we get off the exit, barely make it off of the exit into a parking lot. And we sat there for 15 or so minutes waiting in the cold with no heat in a broken down car. Well, it was the alternator, and I'm happy to report that I'm back on the road now. But I was grateful for the battery light that gave me the warning that something was wrong. Now, the warning doesn't solve the problem, but unless there's something like that that tells you what the problem is, it becomes impossible to fix. Now, what's helpful about the scriptures this morning is that they have told us that there is a problem, that mankind is lost and trapped in darkness. And there's a number of things I could have done with my light. I could have just looked at it. I just said, well, this is probably no big deal, or put a piece of tape over it so it kind of eased my conscience in this situation. And you laugh, but how many of us have seen a light on our dashboard and thought, it's probably no big deal, and we just continue on until it becomes a big deal? right? Some of you are smiling and communicating with each other on that particular no. But this is often how we treat the darkness of our problem of sin. Well, everyone else is headed in the same direction. Everyone else is doing the same thing. So it really is no big deal. But Christ has told us here that He has come into the world to solve this problem of darkness. So that's the problem, first of all. Let's consider then, secondly, the solution. The solution to this problem of darkness is coming to the light. If you're not familiar with the story of the Bible, it might seem strange to you that the birth of a baby could be described as rescuing sinful humanity from darkness. After all, what could a baby do? But it's precisely because of who the baby was and what he came to do that qualified him to be described as the light of the world. He was God's son, whom God lovingly gave to this world to redeem sinners from their darkness. See, because God is holy and just, He couldn't merely just sweep sin underneath the rug as if it was no big deal. His justice demands that sin be appropriately punished. And so Jesus was willing to leave the glories of heaven to come down to this earth to pay the penalty on a cross for your sins and for my sins. The death that we deserve to die, Jesus was willing to die. He didn't die for His own sins, but He died for your sins and mine. He didn't stay dead, but God raised Him from the dead, signifying that He accepted the sacrifice that Christ made on behalf of sinners, and to put death to defeat one final time. And now, the offer of light is made to each one of us. The offer of light is made to you and it is made to me. But the way it is received is through faith, by believing in this offer of light from Jesus Christ, right? Because verse 7 there in your text tells us that John came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. So the way one receives the light is through faith. Now, I'm hesitant to use the word faith this morning because the understanding of the word faith in our modern-day context has lost some of its meaning and significance, or it's morphed into a different meaning. Faith today, as we typically use it, is this belief that something is true in spite of all of the odds and all of the evidence. Right? So I believe that the Detroit Lions are going to win the Super Bowl, right? Well, it's against all the odds and against all the evidence, and technically I think they're mathematically eliminated at this point in the season. The better word to describe biblical faith is the word trust. That we put our confidence in something to rescue us from this darkness. When the Bible uses the term faith, really there are three ingredients to faith. When we understand these three ingredients, then we understand what it means to come out of the darkness and into the light. The three ingredients are these: knowledge, agreement, and unreserved trust. So in order for a person to come out of the darkness and into the light and believe in Jesus, there has to be knowledge. You have to know that mankind was lost in sin. You have to know that Jesus came to this earth to rescue you from your sins, to die on the cross and to be raised again so that you could be forgiven. You have to know the facts of the good news of Christ in order to believe in Him. But just knowing the facts doesn't save anyone from their sins. There secondly must be agreement. Agreement that not only did these things happen historically, not only did Jesus die for sinners, but He died for my sins. He died that I might be forgiven. He died that I might be delivered. You have to agree not only that it's true, but it's true and applies to you. So there's knowledge. There is agreement. And lastly, there is unreserved trust. Or we might say it this way. You have to come to the point in your life where you decide to depend on Jesus. You no longer just recognize it as a historical reality that Jesus came to die for sinners, but you put your own personal faith and trust in the Lord to save you. Recognizing that He is the only means to deliver you from the darkness of sin and the consequences that follow. So that's what it means to express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have knowledge, we have agreement, and we decide to depend on Him and Him alone to deliver us from darkness. Now, I don't know your spiritual condition this morning. I don't know if you have turned and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I do know this. From what the Scriptures tell us, mankind comes into this world lost in darkness and remains in darkness unless they come to the light. And the only way in which we come to the light is through turning to Jesus in faith. And so if you're here this morning and you've never turned from your sins and believed in Jesus Christ, friend, this is the only means of escaping darkness, is by receiving the gift of life that Jesus has given, which we celebrate at Christmas, but ultimately culminated in His finished work on Easter. So friend, will today be the day that you understand the connection of light to Christmas and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you'd like to talk more after the service, any of the pastors would be happy to talk to you more about how to follow Jesus and be forgiven of your sins. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful to study your word that has not left us ignorant as to our condition or the solution to the problem. So we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would take these words, help them to penetrate deep into our hearts so that we understand how sinful we are, but how merciful and gracious you are. Lord, let no one be hindered this morning from turning to the light and receiving your forgiveness. We pray that you would use your word to glorify yourself and save souls. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand together and we're going to sing and close.